from KQED.
If you live or work on the peninsula, you undoubtedly spend a lot of time on one particular road. El Camino Real runs the length of the peninsula between San Francisco and San Jose. Nearly the entire way, it's lined with businesses, apartment buildings, and offices. It was actually once part of Highway 101. Now that name, El Camino Real. Translated from Spanish, it means the King's Highway, and it implies a regal history. Legend has it, it's an ancient road built by the Spanish to connect their 21 missions along California's coast. But is it true? This is Bay Curious. I'm Olivia Allen Price. Today, we're searching for the Real story of El Camino Real. Sorry, I couldn't help myself. KQED's South Bay Arts reporter Rachel Miro hit the trail with this week's question asker.
We met at Mission Santa Clara because this story dates all the way back to the Spanish colonial era in California.
My name is Debbie Torrey. I live in Campbell, California.
Torrey asked Bay Curious the question, what can you find out about the El Camino Real history?
My name is Robert Senkiewicz. I'm a professor of history at Santa Clara University.
Senkiewicz is the man who can answer that, and then some, starting with the perhaps surprising truth that there were many El Camino Reals all over the land Spain used to control in the New World from 1769 to 1821.
Royal roads. That was what you would call the main roads in any particular area because technically all of this belonged to the King of Spain.
But wait, I read on Wikipedia that this El Camino Real, the one in Silicon Valley, is part of the historic Mission Trail, an ancient road that connects the Spanish missions like a string of pearls along the California coast. Also, I'm pretty sure I heard somewhere, possibly in school, that the distance between each mission is supposed to be about a day's journey.
What happened has to do more with Southern California than it does with Northern California. By about the 1870s, you get more and more Anglos, Americans, coming into Southern California. And the Anglo population really increases with the arrival of the railroads in Los Angeles in the 1880s.
Now, in America, there's a rich tradition of just-got-here-yesterday people concocting romantic origin myths. And a number of influential Southern Californians wanted one of their own. They looked around and saw crumbling Spanish missions, 21 of them, stretching from the Mexican border all the way north to Sonoma. Here's the story as told in a 1951 promotional film for Greyhound buses called Freedom Highway.
It's the same road the Spaniards followed almost 200 years ago, only they called it El Camino Real, King's Highway. Try and imagine how it looked then.
You mean with Spaniards on horseback?
Of course, what was really going on here was the enslavement of local tribespeople who were reeling under the impact of European diseases, forced religious conversion, and the destruction of their entire way of life. Not that our question asker, Debbie Torrey, or I, learned much of this in the fourth grade, which is when a lot of California school children study the subject.
You're right, they did glamorize it, thinking it was all wonderful.
The mission pass that they construct was a fantasy pass. Heroic missionaries, happy, contented Indians, fandangos all over the place. You know, the Spanish, you know, often enough you read in textbook that they blazed trails, but they didn't blaze trails. They followed trails that had already been developed by the indigenous people up and down the California coast.
But at the turn of the 20th century, few people wanted that version of history. They wanted something fun, happy, exotic. Groups like the Landmarks Club and the Native Daughters of the Golden West pushed to reframe a collection of dirt roads into a rediscovered King's Highway.
And the Automobile Club of Southern California kind of decides this fantasy past is a great way of getting people to buy and drive automobiles. And so what they do is they begin to push the notion that there was one central road, which they named the El Camino Real, that connected the missions. They began to push the notion that the missions were located a day's journey from each other, you know, which kind of, when you think about it, makes them motels rather than what they actually were, agents of assimilation of the native peoples.
So why did Northern California play along with this Southern California fantasy? Sankiewicz says the concept caught on with wealthy Californians, like Jane Stanford, wife of the railroad baron Leland Stanford, and wealthy Catholics like San Francisco Mayor James Phelan. They wanted the Spanish missions restored to something like their former glory.
A lot of them were in really sad shape. If you look at pictures from the 1860s and 1870s, the missions are crumbling.
Consider this. If the Spanish revival movement had not happened, we might be looking at a string of ruins along the California coast. Standing inside the sumptuously renovated Mission Santa Clara on the modern-day campus of Santa Clara University, Tori agrees.
I'm actually kind of speechless in here. It's just magnificent. I feel like I'm in Europe.
Then we hop in a modern-day car and drive a half an hour to Mission San Jose, which is actually in modern-day Fremont. Think of it as a mini mission road trip focused on the South Bay. And here in Fremont, we find one of the most historically accurate restorations in the California mission system. And the on-site museum is not to miss. Debbie Torrey grabs a fact-based map of the missions from the gift shop.
So Debbie, do you see yourself going on a mission tour after this?
As a matter of fact, yes.
Tori took her kids on a mission tour like this years ago, but told them a lot of stuff she genuinely believed that turns out to be bunk. Her grandkids will get the truth.
But Rachel, I still have a question. So every now and then when I'm driving along El Camino Real, I will see a shepherd's crook on the side of the road, and from the crook hangs a bell that I have been told marks this historic trail. What's the deal with those bells, I guess?
Those also stem back to the same period of time when people first came up with El Camino Real. There was a wife of a foundry owner in Los Angeles who conveniently suggested that she could manufacture these handy bells that were sort of reminiscent of the Spanish era up and down the new route that they had just created, Mrs. Armitage C.E. Forbes. And in 1996, Caltrans decided to resurrect the bells. So you'll spot them 1 to 2 miles apart on a variety of state routes, because, of course, there isn't one route. Reality, fantasy don't quite match up.
But at this point, our taxpayer dollars have helped to feed this fantasy.
Yes. Well, the taxpayer dollars helped to feed it the first time, too. So people are making money off of this. Yes, this is a $2 million testament to the enduring appeal of a made-up version of history.
Wow. All right. Well, South Bay Arts reporter Rachel Miro, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We have a video about the history of El Camino Real on our website, baycurious.org. It was produced by Adam Grossberg. Be sure to check it out. We also just put up a new voting round. Here are the three questions we're considering.
Should we worry about eating produce from gardens polluted by ash and smoke from the wildfires?
What was it like in the Bay Area during the Ice Age?
How did eucalyptus trees take such a foothold in the Bay Area, and are we stuck with them now?
Head over to baycurious.org to cast your vote. Bay Curious is made in San Francisco at KQED. I'm Olivia Allen Price.